Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Suter. I need a haircut. I oftentimes don't know what day of the week it is right now, and I've adopted a new phrase called leg blankets. What are leg blankets, you might ask? They're sweatpants, and I love mine. Courtney and I have fully adopted them as complete appropriate attire for work as we quarantine and work from home, and it's a meaningful thing to do so. What was your life like on March 11th, 2020? It's hard to remember back even that far. Many people are joking that today feels like March 49th. We're 5 weeks into this journey, and that can be hard to believe. So much has changed. Physical get-togethers have been on pause, and they've been replaced by virtual time together, not a replacement for being together physically. We long for that. Things have changed, like kids are home all the time. Our kids are home trying to learn online school, and they're doing a great job, and we're doing the best that we can to help them with that. But their friendships are as virtual as ours are. Courtney and I have watched our kids as they do virtual chats with their friends that are just mere two doors away from our home itself. Birthday parties have changed. In fact, on Saturday afternoon this last week, all of a sudden out of nowhere, 25 cars went zipping past our home, and our kids got it before I did. It was a quarantine birthday party parade where people got into a car, they might have made notes for the person whom had a birthday, and they drove past that person's house to celebrate them. In fact, another quarantine birthday party parade happened in New Ulm, Minnesota this last week on Monday. It was for the oldest living Minnesotan. Her name is Erna Zahn, and she turned 112 years old. What a milestone. When she was asked what her secret to her longevity is, she said, naps. And eat your breakfast. My favorite is hot oatmeal. Personally, I long for the day that these restrictions are lifted and we can return back to whatever the sense of normal is. But I just want to ask you, in what ways has your life changed since all of this took place? We're in a moment of crisis. How significantly this has changed us or our circumstances are yet to be seen. Normal will come back, but it may not be what we were used to before. Whether we've been hit with something life-changing or we just miss the simple everyday things that we were used to, the crisis that we're experiencing pushes us into asking a really important question. And that question is, what remains? God has an answer to that question. You might be wondering what this massive book on this table that's joining me is. This is a Bible that has been in my family since 1870. It was gifted to me last year by my aunt, and it's an incredible treasure. And today I'm reminded that the word in here speaks and gives light and life to all who hear. There's a poem written in here by Anne Virginia Suter to her husband, Martin, who was an officer in the Union Army in the Civil War. The poem is this: "A glory gilds the sacred page, majestic like the sun. It gives light to every age. It gives but borrows none." That's a powerful statement, that the word of God that is in the Bible speaks and gives light and life to us in every circumstance of life. Through the high times and the low times, the times of peace and crisis, God's word speaks. And this Bible itself has spoken through the end of the Civil War, through major global conflicts like World War I and World War II, the 1918 influenza pandemic, the outbreak of polio, the Great Depression, September 11th, the 2008 economic downturn, and today, COVID-19. There's life, and there is light in these pages. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. For the next 3 weeks together, we are going to focus on the three words that we've just heard: faith, hope, and love. And we're going to explore how they apply to our lives right now in everything that we're facing. And we believe that God will provide comfort and a vision for all of us of how to navigate these days that are ahead of us. Let me give you just a little bit of context. I just read out of 1 Corinthians 13. This is known as the passage of love. We hear it oftentimes at weddings, and it's a fitting scripture for that context. But there's more that meets the eye here. The church at Corinth, that ancient city, was a church that Paul the apostle was writing this letter to that was experiencing a crisis of their own. Their crisis was a conflict with each other, and they had lost sight of what mattered most and what remains the most and what persists the most. And Paul was calling them out. He was ushering in a challenge or an exhortation to something better. At the end of the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes these words, "Now I want to show you the most excellent way." And throughout chapter 13, he goes on to explore the word love and how profound it is, that love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it keeps no record of wrongs. That's God's love. And then he brings us to a summary statement that brings them all together and profoundly states, this is what lasts forever and what remains. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Whether conflict or pandemic, whether strife or crisis, faith, hope, and love remain." I want to spend a little time on that word remain, because in the scriptures, there's a power to it that's unique. Out of the original language, it means to abide. It means to last forever. And the ultimate idea behind that word remain is extreme permanence, persisting in through all of life and into eternity. We need something right now, and that's faith. That's the first word of what remains. We need it right now, and God will use our faith to feed our souls until the very day that we no longer need our faith anymore and we see Jesus face to face. And what a day that will be. But faith is profound. We're going to explore what faith is. Faith brings things into our life, and faith will lead us towards an ultimately good ending. Let's start with what is faith. A couple of years ago here at Westwood, I did a word study on this word in the New Testament. In the original ancient Greek language, the word is pistuo, and as it's translated into English, it reads in certain places faith or to believe or belief. I think that there's a stronger translation, and I'll share with you why, but this is what faith is. Faith is trust. Trust is a helpful way to define this word, and I want to build on a few thoughts as to why. First, trust is an action. It's not information that we stay stagnant in, it's action. It's a choosing of the will. And faith or trust or belief, as it is intended by the scriptures, is really going all in on Jesus. Let me give you a quick illustration. A few years ago, our family went to family camp up in northern Minnesota. And for those of you who have been to camp as a kid or adult, you know that there's lots of activities at camp that help you to build trust. There's the high ropes course and rock climbing walls. There's the trust fall, which could be maybe the greatest invention to modern man. You stand up on a table that's very tall, you put the people who you're connected to most behind you, and then you fall looking the other direction backwards into their arms because you trust that they are who they say that they are and that they're going to catch you. But then there's something that we encountered, and it's called the pamper pull. Now, I have no idea why this is called the pamper pole, because it's not pampering at all. This is a picture of me at the very top of it. It's beyond 20 feet. Your task is to climb straight up the pole, and with no handles or assistance, to get yourself up on the very top of it, stand like you're the Karate Kid above the earth, and then you jump. This is a picture of my wife, Courtney, that will come up jumping, because that makes sense. And when you jump towards a trapeze bar. Why? Well, the ultimate why is that you don't embarrass yourself in front of the kids who might be watching. But here's the principle that I'm saying. Just like being at the very top of that pamper pole, we went all in. We jumped. We leapt. We chose. It was an action step. It's a great example of what trust really means. It wasn't enough to just think that we could do it. It wasn't enough to just know that if something went wrong, the harness would catch us. We had to act. We had to step out. We had to go all in on Jesus. And the tenor of this word faith, to trust, is that very thing, to go all in on him. Trust is an action. To trust in Jesus is the act of salvation. It's what it means to receive Christ. This iconic text out of John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him or trusts in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's a life-giving passage. Whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, that action step of going all in on him will live forever with Jesus. Third, faith is trust, has plenty of room to grow. Faith is a journey, and it starts quite small. Check out 1 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, your faith, your trust is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Plenty of room to grow in trust. It's imperfect. Next, faith is trust is not void of doubt. Jesus has this profound interaction with this father in the scriptures whose child is sick, whom he wants to be healed. Jesus says to him, anything is possible for one who believes or one who trusts. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus works in the midst of that. And lastly, trust, faith, is the antidote to fear. Mark 5:36, Jesus simply says, do not be afraid, just believe. What profound words for today. It doesn't mean that our fears are going to go away magically. It just means that they're not going to win anymore. Faith is an action. Faith is trust in an act of salvation. It's got plenty of room to grow, and it can exist with doubt as God meets us in that doubt. And it's the antidote to our fear. Trusting in Jesus is challenging right now. There's lots of things that confront us and challenge our trust. And it's an every moment practice. I was reminded of this last week in a conversation with a friend of mine here at Westwood. He's a young adult. Right now he's working on his bachelor's degree in college. And he's a server at a restaurant. And when that restaurant closed as a result of COVID-19, he lost his job. And what he's doing now is he's choosing to volunteer his time at that restaurant to do whatever he can to help keep it afloat. No job, no income in sight, school and pressures are continuing to rack up. He said to me, at first, it was really hard. I was laid off. I was unsure of unemployment. And overnight, everything changed regarding the way that I go to school. And I felt so much stress. But then I remembered and started to rely on prayer in God in a new way. Each day, I focus on a passage of scripture to meditate on, mostly themed around anxiousness and worry. I don't have any control over any of this stuff. God only does. And he has a plan behind it all. I'm finding that in my moments of prayer, peace comes immediately. And in my worries, God has an answer. When I was concerned about my income, it came even more than I thought would. When I was worried about school, the administration gave us some relief on the pressure that I was feeling around our grades. These are just some small examples of how God has met me in my worries, and he's provided an answer for me every time. I just need to remind myself every day to trust him and his good intentions for me. I love that. What a great reminder. Faith is trust every day. Next, faith brings confidence and assurance. Right now, there's so much uncertainty. Your uncertainty is likely different from my uncertainty. It could be financial. It could be about your health or the health of a loved one. It could be about when this will return back to normal and what that might look like. I know for me, my experience of every day changes. There's some waves that I encounter. Some days, I feel great. I'm at peace. Quarantine is just fine. I've kind of got it all together, so to speak, and I'm finding a place of joy. Other days, it's more difficult than that. The pressures of two full-time jobs that Courtney and I both have, helping kids to go through school, and just navigating all that we face every day sometimes overwhelms me. Some days I feel sad because I can't get together physically with the people who I love in my life. And then there are other days where concerns that are heightened weigh me down. Most of that has to do with the health of my immediate and my extended family. How about you? I know, and I trust the same is for you. I need confidence and I need assurance that there's a steady hand that is guiding me through all of this. Truth is, there is. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Confidence, as in what we hope for, which is God's promises, that he promises to be with us every single moment, not somewhere else, that he promises every moment to give us everything that we need for a life that is filled with godliness and trust, and that he saved us for all of eternity, and at the end of the day, nothing can touch our soul. The confidence in those promises that God enacts and fuels us through our faith that gives us hope. Assurance, as in God's plans that he has, that he's unfolding for us, that there's a greater good going on no matter what. We can't see it all right now, friends, but can I remind you, God is working in your life. I think there's ways that you know that God is working in your life because you see it. But there are ways that God is working in your life and in my life that I won't be able to see right now, but I will later. Hindsight is always 20/20. When we look back at the journey behind us, we can see the faithful hand of God orchestrating our circumstances for our good and for his glory. We're going to see clearly then what God is doing now, but the fact that he's working immediately through our faith to give us hope, to give us confidence, to give us assurance, that's powerful. In fact, I spoke with a friend earlier this week who reminded me of this in his circumstances. His wife is in an assisted living facility. In fact, she moved into that facility just before COVID-19's momentum broke out to become the concern that it is today. My conversation with him inspired me around this concept of confidence and hope. He's doing the best that he can to focus on faith with such confidence and assurance with how his faith fuels him every day. Here's what he said. If you have a faith and you believe, you really have no other alternative right now than to draw on it. In the dark, tough times, that's the beauty of having faith. We would prefer to not be in this time, my wife and I, but we are here. Along the journey, when we've been asked how we're doing, we say we're adjusting, we're trusting, we're hoping, and we're praying. My faith really emboldens me to move forward every day. When you have faith, you can have confidence in the outcome. It's going to be good either way. My heart aches and her heart aches too. But I know that she knows where she's going because she trusts in her Jesus. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. It brings confidence and assurance. And then lastly, faith will be made perfect. There's an end to the story that we're living in actually right now. What caused Paul to categorize faith as one of these big three that remain with extreme permanence, if I might remind us all, is grounded in the fact that one day we're not going to need our faith anymore. Because when we see Jesus face to face, we will see fully what our faith pointed us toward. But God is not waiting until that day to start the process of perfecting us through our faith. That process of growth and perfection is underway even in this very moment. Let's take a look at Hebrews 12. It says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Feels like that right now. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Another way to translate this, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, is the author and the perfecter of our faith. I like that image of Jesus being the author. He's the one who starts our faith. Trusting in Jesus, as we said before, is a journey. It starts small. And in fact, Jesus himself said that if you have a small faith, the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed that can exist, you can move mountains. Faith starts small, and he's the one who's holding the pen, who's writing your story, and he's the one that's perfecting it. And just like any author, he has an ideal storyline that he wants to write in and through your life as it is, bringing you to where you can go with him. That's a good story. And the storyline of this good story that God is writing within us is for our good and our benefit and for his glory. And that's a good thing to trust. And it's filled with what remains. 1 Corinthians 13:13 was a challenge. It was an exhortation. It was a call to action that Paul, the original author, gave. And it's the same thing for us today. No matter what is going on in the world around us, to center in on what remains that will persist, that will endure. And what is that? That's faith, that's trust. And that faith brings confidence and assurance to our everyday life. And that faith has a good outcome. It has a good ending. And that reality of perfection is one that we live in right now, right here. Just like that challenge that day, I want to give us a challenge today. And it really is two words. And I want to offer those words to you today. If you do believe, if you have put your trust in Jesus, I want to give you a word, and that word is release. Right now, there's lots of things that we're all navigating through. And for that day, those early followers of Jesus were navigating through a lot. And they were living outside of these virtues, faith, hope, and love. And it was taking a toll on them. Right now, there's a lot of pressures. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of things that all of us are managing. And if I can be candid, sometimes that overcomes me and overpowers me. And to give you an image, I kind of take the pen back from the author, if you will. Whether it's my pride or whether it's my inconsistency, whatever it is, I start to write a story that I want to write and that I don't trust him. Can I invite you and invite me in this moment? If you do believe, release. Release the pen back to the author. Let Jesus continue to write that good story within you. Worry, fear, and stress, those pressures are real. And sometimes they overtake us. But can I remind us of something that's true? That those things have no power over us beyond what we allow, because we are held safe and secure in the mighty hand of God. If that's too much right now, that's okay. Just come to Jesus today. Release that pen and allow him to write that story continually for you. One of the things that we want to fuel you with as we go forward, in order to continually release towards Jesus to allow him to write, is a prayer guide for the next 3 weeks as we go through this series called What Remains. We want to encourage you to prayerfully put your trust in Jesus through simple prayers that we'll give to you every day through social media and on our website. And we invite you, starting today, to take a look at that and let that encourage you to continue to release. Now, I want to say this. If you don't believe, if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, trust, that's the word. Put your trust in him. One of the things that Jesus says is, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And what he means in that is, throughout the longevity of our life, he draws us towards himself with his love. He calls us towards him to find the life that we were created to live, a life in him that in John 10:10 says is a life to the full. That's all that he wants for you if you haven't yet believed. Putting your trust in Jesus is like standing at the top of that pole. It's not enough to just know information about Jesus. It's taking that step of action. It's going all in. And so friends, as God has drawn you, can I invite you to go all in today if you haven't yet? There's a simple prayer that I'll lead you in just a moment. But today could be the very day that you find your life to the full, in which faith, hope, and love, in all of its certainty and confidence, can be yours like never before. Would you hear the loving voice of Jesus and see his hand reaching out to you today? And would you grasp it? Would you trust in him? As I pray, our band is going to come and join me here. And before we close our gathering, I just want to invite you to stay with us, because we're going to sing a song that captures the tenor of the whole of what we've been talking about today. And we're going to do guided prayers. I'm going to say them out loud and you'll say them with me. And I just want to invite you to experience this moment of worship with us. So let's start in prayers. Our band will come. Would you join me? God, we thank you for being the one who holds it all together. And with open hands and heart, we lean into you in this moment. We know that what has staying power in our life is our faith, it's hope, and it's love. And today, would you give us faith? Would you visit us in this moment and remind us of who you are in our life right now? For those who believe, would you give them the power and point them towards how they can release? And for those maybe who have not said yes to you yet, may that be so today. And friends, if that be you, I just invite you to pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I come to you today as I am. I acknowledge that you love me, you gave your life for me, And today, Jesus, I give you my life and I trust in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.